Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sum of You Show. My name is Elisa.
And I'm Anna.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning. So our usual suspect, Liz, was not able to do the show this morning. She's got some work to do. I think she's doing an interview, so that's kind of cool.
It's an interview for this really cool project that uses her talents, will use her talents, let's put it that way, to bridge the gap between, like, law enforcement and the youth of today. Very interesting. I don't know all the details, but it's something similar. So it's about facilitating workshops and so she's going in to, talk to them. They asked her to come in today. So yay, Liz.
Very good. Yeah. So we will carry on the show today without her, but she should be back on next week, I'm hoping.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
that's
yeah.
Why you get the cousins today. You get the cousins today. And speaking of, this is you, my cousin, are back in from your whirlwind trip to New York. Definitely whirlwind. You were there for like 3 weeks, so but you were able to kind of give us your highlights from that experience on Tuesday. But now you're back. And I know, because I spent time with you as soon as you got back. you got to spend time with your kids, which was...
I did.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was wonderful. You know, just trying to coordinate. Of course, this is how, kind of swirly and I don't want to say crazy, just ever. What is it that... You gave me some really wise words yesterday when we were talking, and you said divine order adjusts. I said, that's fantastic. I came back specifically yesterday. I needed to come back. My driver's license was expired, and I needed to get to the DMV ASAP. So handled that situation, and that's taken care of. Yay. I'm a legal, not that I was an illegal driver, but it was, you know, down to the wire. So now I'm a good driver. All that going on. Yeah, I got to have you and I, you got to see my kids before I did. So,
yeah.
She's sending me pictures of my kids, her and my kids. I was like, there you go. Oh, my God. So sitting in the DMV looking at pictures of my cousin. And my aunt and my kids. That was great. Yeah, no, last night was great. We met them. We were able to meet them in town and finally give them gifts from Hawaii because I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in a couple months. So I was able to do that, give them their stuff, and that was fun. And we all hung out. And, of course, Jaden filling your ear with, I'm guessing, Carfax.
Rally cars. Specifically Peugeot rally cars, or Peugeot, as he was calling it, Peugeot.
And Lily just made her rounds, hugging and kissing everybody and saying she loves them. That's her nature.
That's right.
Her nature. Yeah.
That was incredibly sweet. And it was perfect for me. I saw them at the same place where I get my massage done at a chiropractic clinic. So that's why I was able to run into them. Their mother had some stuff to do there. And I knew there was a chance, I guess, at any given moment, actually, because, you know, we're there once a month, but sometimes we very rarely do we run into them around the same time. You know, either as never as we're coming in, but usually as we're leaving, because we get
going out. Yeah.
Yeah. So to see them is always a treat. And Lily got all our little hugs and kisses in, you know, the band. We just pretty much stood in that waiting room and we just hugged. Just, I love you. I love you too. And that's like typical times that with Lily, and then she'll tell you some stories, but then she'll still just hug up on you. And it's just so sweet, you know, when you're used to having that and then you don't have it for a long time. And then, you know, I think when it comes to kids and you don't realize maybe I should hug more often, you know, like maybe I really don't seem to hug as many people as I probably could, because it's just so easy to do. And it was a little addictive. Like, okay, well, I have to go. But let me, well, all right, one more hug. And then 5 minutes later, all right, we really have to go. I got to go. One more hug.
I think it's interesting, though, because not everybody's a hugger.
Right.
Not everybody. Yeah. So I now, with adults, I have a tendency to ask, you know, like, I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. Are you a hugger? Because I've run across people that they don't hug. They don't hug.
Right.
It's like, okay. Or right, like, no, I don't, you know, I don't know you. So I will tell you, in New York, all of Liz's friends, they're all huggers. They're so sweet. They are so sweet. Yeah. And some of them, two or three hugs, you know, before you go. So
yeah,
it's really good. No, it was great to see the kids. I'll see them again this afternoon. I love that. So I'll spend the day with them. Up at the lake. That's
nice.
Kind of the general plan. Yeah, so I was going to hang out here. I got in last night, and I'm staying with a friend who's getting ready to leave for a little bit of a long 3 or 4 week vacation, and I'm going to be taking care of her space and her puppies. And so I got over here, and she wasn't here. Her daughter was here. And I was able to chat with her just a minute, and then I was like, I've got to go to sleep. I could feel it, you know. So, slept at your house before I came
Yay.
Over, and slept here. So I've had some. I knew that was going to happen as soon as I got back. It's like woo, because the energy level in New York is like, I always say, it's like riding the crest of a wave. You know, for me, I'd be on a boogie board, right at the top of that wave,
uh-huh.
and you just keep riding it and riding it and riding it. And the moment you leave New York, you go over the edge, and you do a little trip, and it's great, and then you're out. So,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
good.
You're there for a while. You're there for a while, so that's a lot of movement. That's what I think of when I get to New York, and most of the time when I'm there, they're not nearly as long as the time you spent. So that kind of activity is compressed in, you know, a couple of days at most. I think the most I've spent in New York was last year. Spent a week there, 6 days.
Yeah.
That was a lot. And we kept pretty busy, and it was. I think it's different also because you don't really always have your own space. You know, when you're a guest, you have to, you know, you may not have like your own room like you would maybe on vacation, like at a hotel room. Even then, like for me, when I go on cruises, I'm sharing that space. So,
right.
But I think it's important to have some downtime where, you know, no one's going to interrupt you. You know, so you can just do whatever. Usually it's just to sleep, just to catch up on things and to rest. But it's hard to do when it's maybe in a shared space and it's functional space. And so people have to do things in there. So they have to, you know, piddle around. And, you know, if you're on the couch somewhere, then you're aware that between this time and this time, you know, there's going to be a lot of activity. So you can stay there, but you may not be able to just be
lounge about
and not have to have your guard up or, you know, and not to say that anything's going to happen to you, but it's different. Like when you're in your own room, you can close the door.
Right.
And so you close the door and there's already a warning if someone is planning to come in, but more than likely there's no reason for anyone to come into your room, you know?
Yeah.
There's something about that. There is something about that, because, you know.
Yeah, there is.
The
you
interruptions
know, is that, and,
can be crazy.
Yeah. That's so much for me. I don't know. For me, I was okay. You know, the interesting part is, and I'm sitting here now, it's silent. There's, like you said, there's always movement there. There's always sound. And we talked about this on Tuesday. And I think that's the interesting part is, and Liz would, you know, we would go places. And Trey, who got us into radio in the first place, she showed me where he used to meditate in Times Square. He loved to go into Times Square and meditate. And you, and that's probably one of the noisiest places in New York.
Right.
And what I realized, right. what I realized is if you can quiet your mind in that space, that's an amazing thing. And I did. It was really good to just be there. And there was a time just before I left and Liz was getting her hair done, and there's a park across the street, and I sat in the park, and I was trying to make some phone calls, but none of the phone calls were going through. I'm curious. And so I just sat there, and, you know, it was nice. And you know, watched a couple of pigeons, and then I just, at some point, just closed my eyes, and I just, at first I was listening to all the different sounds, and then it was silent. Then it was silent, and it was really fascinating to play with the noises, too, because that, there's always constantly something going on, and like I said, even though you're way up, you're still going to hear all the nuances of New York City, and it's the thing that makes it absolutely beautiful, and it's the thing that is like, wow, when you're not used to that, it's getting used to that. And I was pretty used to it by the third week, and just knowing, you know, with him, well, you know, because Liz and I were talking, the thing that I loved about chatting with her is the energy that I think we swapped. You know what I'm saying? Like kind of the ebb and flow, because we have sort of a flip side of the coin as far as, you know, what had happened in our relationships and how one person felt, how the other person felt, and we're still able to help each other with those conversations. And and of course, she's the mom with the kids, and I'm the mom without the kids. So we were talking, you know, kind of that side and that perspective. But the difference is, you know, she's never stopped the relationship between her children and her ex. She always said,
right.
you know, she always told the kids, now the kids get choices. The kids choose to, you know, spend time with her ex or spend time with her, and they're with her most of the time. So, you know, all of those are about, it's about choice, and it's about how, and, you know, Liz, obviously, she allows her kids, as much as she's the super mom, you know, cooking, when they're there, I really, if she's listening, you better not be doing anything right now except getting ready for your...
She actually is. Okay, she actually has been. She has been. So let's see if I can look her in.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Hello. I know you miss me. I know you miss me. I know you miss me, girl. Yeah. Oh my God. Hello, my chickens. Hello.
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 Hello,
Mommy Chula. Hello, Mommy Chula.
Hello, Mommy.
Well, I have to tell you, I did not leave the house yesterday by choice.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am not leaving the house. I'm going to prepare for this meeting that I'm going to. It's kind of like an audition, but whatever. And what's funny is I'm so not attached to it, because when I actually got a call from them to make my appointment a little bit earlier today. So I wanted to listen to the show and say hi as I'm getting ready to leave. And what's great was that I actually pitched an idea for a documentary. So either way, I win.
Yeah.
Either way, because this organization is so fascinating to me, and I already had a rough idea of the next documentary endeavor that I would go on, which really was about, the working title was called The Disregard Project, where there's a disregard on both ends between law enforcement and youth and back and forth. And this Operation Cops and Kids which is where I'm meeting with some other potential candidates to be workshop facilitators, which has in-depth training and all that. Just really merges the two passions of my life, the stage and making a safer world for my kid. And what was so wonderful about that, that there's no attachment. And I was already thinking about doing this doc from a more personal filter, but if it could be through the filter of an organization that's actually doing something, that's actually the solution, and if I could partner up with them and put together well, to kind of plant the seed, and then on my own put together with a new producing partner of mine, and it's a new friend of Anna's, Richard Rosen. So Richard Rosen, who's an attorney and very dear friend of mine and has always been very interested in film, we're going to put together, and this is funny, Anna, because this is all these things that when you were here make sense to you now. We're going to put together a pitch deck,
yep,
which is a way to propose. Maybe we'll have you do the artwork, Anna. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Propose a project, but in visual form, sort of laying out the structure of a project, and to use this organization as the focal point to make this statement on film about how do we humanize both sides, cops and kids. And that's what this organization does. So either way, in my mind, sure, it's at its basis form, it's a job interview, you know, but at the end of the day, I'm looking at it as a research trip. So I won. I already won because I'm not trying to, please hire me, please. Like, I can work the corner, as I do, as one does. I can work the corner. It's absolutely fine, but I was listening in as I'm getting ready and drinking my coffee, and I just wanted to jump in to say, yes, I know the energy here in New York is, like, if you're not from here, it's ridiculous. I totally, totally get that, and this is why I appreciate other places, so that there is a way to decompress and not be so hyper-stimulated all the time. But to find that pocket of peace, like Anna, when you were talking about Trey meditating in Times Square, I love that you brought that up. Because we could have our own urban jungle in our minds. We don't have to be in New York or Chicago or L.A. or wherever. In our own minds. So in whatever the chaos is, whether it's physical chaos, perceived chaos, imagined chaos, the chaos of perception, we could kind of find that spaciousness. And it was so wonderful to make that choice to stay home, get things done slowly, leisurely, be mostly in silence, you know. That's how you balance. That's how you balance. And I know I was exhausted, so I'm sure you must have fell out. I'm sure you slept the sleep of the dead, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's so funny because when I got back to Elisa's after visiting the DMV, I took a little nap before we headed over to meet Steph and the kids. And then we got back from dinner. I was like, okay, I'm going to take a little disco nap, and then I'm going to go over to Patricia's. And I laid down. I think I slept for 2 hours. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. You were exhausted. And also, I want to acknowledge, I'm so happy that you saw the children. I am so thrilled that you got to see your kids.
Oh, yeah. And I'll see them probably, I'll see them as much as I can. And there's no.
Of course.
And we're actually all going over to my Aunt Julie's on Saturday. So Steph and the kids,
nice.
And Elisa, Auntie Lou and Pia, we're all going to go over there.
Nice.
And visit another aunt. So, yeah, so planning some little outings and some things to do. So I think that's going to be wonderful. But I will go over there this afternoon and visit with them and just relax in their space. And, well,
wonderful.
Probably outside. So
nice. Outside
right.
is good.
Yeah.
Outside trees.
Yeah.
Birds.
Yeah. And nature.
How,
yeah.
Well, nature.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
that.
They're
I saw
a huge
picture
RV
of nature.
On the lake, so.
Right.
You
nice.
Saw a picture of nature.
I saw a picture of nature. No, that's great. And anyway, I just wanted to say hi to both of you. And Lisa, I look forward to getting back with you on Tuesday, right? Today's Thursday.
Yeah.
On Tuesday's show. Yeah, we'll be back into the swing of things. But it was great hosting you, Anna. And there is evidence of her presence everywhere because she's done miraculous shifts to this living space for the children and myself, which I am infinitely grateful for. So it was lovely. We had a wonderful, very healing, respectively healing time together. So I'm going to mute. You can just mute me. I'm going to listen.
Okay.
And love you guys. And
love you, Liz. Appreciate you
yeah.
so much. Love you.
Oh, I appreciate you. Oh, my God. Okay. Love you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I never did see pictures of the space transformed, if you've taken any.
Yeah, I have some. We did going back this time, it wasn't the super heavy lifting that Amy and I did the last time we were there. But this time I finished her room with the trim and I'll send pictures. The clouds, I finished her cloud, you know, we did clouds all in her room, and then the kids' room. Cole actually wanted butterflies, so I did just some real quick, you know, butterflies with, and I started on this sort of Galaxian sort of butterfly theme that we're going to go with. It's more, because painting the walls and then painting, you know, it was just a lot on top of all the other stuff. I changed out the medicine cabinet / you know, mirror stuff in the bathroom, and I think that was the biggest, probably the most creative I had to get, because the funny part was I was going to paint, and then I could find the paint, but I couldn't find the paint brushes. So without tearing the place up, I was looking, and Liz was at a show, and so before curtain time, she texted, you know, check the closet, check this. And so I did, and I didn't find anything. So I said, well, the thing that I really need to do is hang this or tear out medicine cabinet. I tore out the night before, and then we got a new one. So I was going to hang that, but this thing is big. It was like 24 by 24. It was kind of heavy. So I'll have to post the pictures of, and I think I said I was going to do this and I didn't. I used boxes to build sort of a little shelf to set it on so that I could literally level it and get it into the wall. So that was pretty fun. But it all worked out. It was me handling it by myself. It took me probably a couple of hours because of just trying to maneuver stuff. But that was probably the biggest, the heaviest thing that had to be done. But other than that, it was, you know, just touching up things here and there, hanging art, hanging new extra shelving. And we put the backsplash behind the stove that made that space there. So yeah, I'll send you all those pictures too. And
very
know,
nice.
Hanging mirrors, doing things like, just, you know, just zhuzhing, little mild zhuzhing all over the place.
Zhuzhing.
Zhuzhing. So yeah, and it's, you know, again, I think we're of course with Liz, and Liz's mind works. She wants to pitch a show, and so we're talking, you know, something about the honeydew list, you know, and so we're pitching. She's already got it in her mind, like how, because it's a different thing, like, because how we did this was basically she had an idea of what she wanted. Well, obviously she wanted things painted. And then so what she did is she brought us to New York and basically fed us and bought all the stuff, and we did all the work. Which I think, so it's kind of like that premise, but it's about, even this whole experience was about empowerment, not only our empowerment or our ability to actually do the projects, like come in and paint, come in and do murals and do all kinds of stuff. But also the person who's, you know, from her perspective, it empowered her because she had not changed her space in 20 years. And this gave her something new, something different, and it changed and it shifted the energy in the space. So there's a lot of empowerment in that, self-empowerment, if you, when you look at it in that way. And I think that's the big thing. Like you can go in and go, oh, I need to paint my living room, and you pick a color. Well, how does that change the energy of the room? How does it change the energy
right.
about how you feel about your space? So there's something bigger in it. And so, of course, Liz being the producer director that she is, you know, and this thing she's talking about, she said, Anna, you can, you know, do the pitch. So she was showing me what pitches look like, which are basically, it's like, if you will, a over glorified brochure of whatever show you're going to do. So if it's a film, you know, this, the films have, you know, all the, you know, information that you would need, kind of reference photographs, you know, scene settings, things like that. So it's all about referencing the idea that you have in your head, so that mm-hmm. if you're going to get financing or if you're going to get people to help you with producing this, then you pitch it to them, but you physically pitch it to them. They've actually got something in their hands that they can read. It tells about the people behind it, who's wanting to produce it, who's wanting to direct it. So it's a really cool way of getting the information out there and into the hands. So basically when she goes today, she's going to, for this interview, at the same time she's talking to them about this documentary, then we'll take that information and we'll, you know, again, take reference material and we'll put it together and actually have like a storyline for whoever. Because, you know, behind the thing is, like with film, what I've realized is Liz giving me a peek into her world, what has to happen behind the scenes before mm-hmm. things happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's a mm-hmm. there's an awful lot of information that has to be handled and a lot of legalities, and that's where Richard comes in. And Richard's, I think, just an amazing addition to their team, because they do have, like this last movie, there were three entities, I think, that worked on this movie. I'm not, you know, could be more, I don't know, but the three, I actually got to meet those producers, directors. Liz was producer, casting director on that one. Dennis was director. Crystal was producer. You know, so everybody's got a role in there, but they do specific jobs. Like the whole, like the 2 days that I was actually on set, Crystal had a headset on her head the whole time, you know. And then there, and then from there sprout all the characters. Like Liz cast these characters, and then there's somebody that actually, you know, in Liz's mind, she has an idea of the clothing that they're supposed to wear. But then there's a person who actually gathers the clothing, and then there's the person mm-hmm. that does the makeup. And then, and it's amazing to watch this filtration of people, and just every, like the person that's doing the clothing has an assistant. The person that's doing the makeup, I don't think she had a specific assistant, but then Crystal's got assistants. And then if we needed anything, there were people there who just literally would help us. They're like, if you need to go somewhere, I'll take you. If you need something to eat, something to drink, I mean, they had food. They had, it was a production in itself, behind the scenes. So all of that has to be handled, and there are people handling it. And that is the, and the, even the people who were the assistants to the handlers were so gracious and so sweet and beautiful. I mean, there are a couple, like Liz is like, gave several of the young men there who were, you know, their model, it's model material. And she's like, you need to, you know, she had me outside. I've got the phone and I'm taking pictures of these guys, like just natural pictures. She said, don't send them headshots yet. Send them these natural pictures. Tell them I sent you and message this guy or email this person. And it's like she's connecting people. And she's got, you know, constantly. It's like constant movement. And so to watch all of that that had to happen behind the scenes was fascinating and brilliant. And then even the assistant director, Rox, who just so patient, and the tiny little details. I think, you know, the scene that I shot, with the little 7-year-old. He was getting a haircut. So this whole idea, in my head, I'm thinking, he's getting a haircut. He probably should have a little bit of hair, like on his little thing that he had around his neck. And I didn't say it because that wasn't my thing, right? But then next thing you know, the assistant director goes, "Hold on," and she's from India. She's so cute. She's like, "Hold on," hands up in the air. And then she goes, and there's a little bag, and she opens the bag, and she pulls out a little pinch of hair. I'm like, that's so cool. So authenticity, reality. So, you know, Liz let me in that world, and I really appreciate being able to see not only just New York, but just as internal workings of, you know, that filmmaking. And
yeah,
what she does. And yeah, it was really cool. And then of course she has friends, like when we went to you know, the different shows, and then she has friends who work there, and she's, you know, hugging people, and it's like girl, you know people.
She knows everybody.
She goes, well, and she knows everybody. So it's just an amazing it was an amazing, great way to have a native New Yorker while you're in New York and take you to places that you probably wouldn't even know existed. And to me, that, and we were, she and I were talking about that. It's like the best, it's the best. Like you couldn't go to New York and have that kind of experience if you didn't, you know, if you didn't know somebody who was from there. And just, yeah, I mean, I met amazing musicians, beautiful artists. Yeah, so that it's like a cultural dip in probably the most creative of creative people I can imagine.
Right.
That really is. I mean, that place is just a melting pot of, I think people, you know, they come to that city looking for that end to get into, you know, obviously on film or Broadway or something like that. But I will say this. There's like little mini versions of that. And I don't want to say mini because I think some of those productions, smaller productions, are amazing. And, you know, people go there looking for, what do they say, looking for the lights or looking for whatever. But there are other things happening in that city, other shows, other plays, other little films, other things that are just happening. And I think just finding the right place, being at the right place at the right time, or finding or searching out this stuff. And I think that's the cool part, is I never in my head thought about being in quote unquote movies or being, you know, on stage, maybe doing stand-up comedy. Yes, I thought about that. And I love to do workshops, and I do like talking, but I would rather facilitate workshops with people and interact. And but doing that and being with those people, just doing the little scene that I did, and just getting a little taste of what that was like, it was, you know, to me it was fascinating. I know.
Well, you
go ahead.
You end up hearing about people that do those sorts of things. They kind of stumble across it, whether it's you know, like a elementary school play, you know.
Yeah.
It could be something as small as that. Well, for you, just to have that experience, to have those kinds of connections. But this is something similar to what we've talked about, a theme where a lot of times we don't really know the backstory for any other person. So especially someone who is in the spotlight, some type of celebrity, whether it's an actor or athlete, whatever, musician, you just don't know. When you just see that's like all the things you just described, like that's all those little details are the things that, then that's what's on, it's controlled what you get to see. Like you don't get to see all, you know, you don't see all the costume changes and all that stuff. You don't know all the rehearsal time that got spent, creating this. It is a vision. Of course it's a vision. Of course Liz has an idea of how, you know, this person is going to look, why she's going to cast a particular person. That's all part of a bigger vision. And I love how you just broke it down, because we don't pay attention to those details. Most of us don't. Literally, we're there to be entertained. So yeah. You tell me a story. Just tell me a story,
yeah.
And I'll tell you if it's good or not, if I like it or not. But there's a lot that goes into it. So just like we don't know why, we don't always know how Oprah got to be the way she is. Now most of us do. If we're big fans and we're inspired by her, then we want to learn more about her. That's just a natural line of questioning. You know, like, wow, how did she get to do that? Very rarely do we get to see all the crazy stuff that has to happen, and some of it may not make any sense at all. You know, why do I have to continue doing this? Why do I have to do so many takes on this? Or it could be just a really small thing, but if it's not just right in someone else's eyes, and it's like, no, then it didn't do anything. Then that scene is just nothing.
Right.
And it's just so interesting because we do talk about how many things are illusions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like it's a bad thing, but it's the illusion is that what you see is what you get.
Right.
there's so much more to what you see than what you see.
Right.
And we have to give not only everybody else the benefit of the doubt, but also ourselves, like the depth of what we could share. What do we choose not to, or whatever that case may be. You know, what we decide to wear when we step out of the house is different from probably what we would do. Just, you know, I'm not going out anywhere. I'm just going to wear my sweatpants. You know, not going to do anything major. But there's always that other side to things, and so I think I love that your experience included all of that, because it's in an industry that has a big pull. I mean, we're visual people; it's a visual world. And so it's not just, you know, in this case, what you see, but also the words, and, you know, so there's a script, there's a setting, there's so many things we take into account. But when we're just being entertained, we just take the overall picture, and we hope that it's something that moves us to feel something for it.
Yeah.
But we don't really appreciate or even fathom how much detail goes into it, whether it's a big show, a big production, or, you know, that's going to be seen by a ton of people, or something more, you know, on a smaller level, that may not have that kind of backing, you know, yet, or that's not the point of it. It's very interesting to me. I love that you had that experience. I think it helps to break down what we think is happening versus, you know, it was just taking things at face value at some point, and then having to ask the question to go deeper.
Yeah, it's moment by moment, and I was thinking about this. It's like, okay, so roughly from when I showed up, we showed up at the holding area, and then we probably were done shooting that scene around, I'm guessing, 2:30. So probably on set, probably like 2 to 3 hours. And I will tell you that scene at max, maybe 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes. And because it is about perspective, because we had, of course, so I was the mom, my perspective, then it was perspective of the actor that I was interacting with. Then it's the other shot from behind. So it was like behind me, behind him. So all these different perceptions, and let's turn it around into visual. It's about, here's the interesting part, and this is what's cool. We are concerned about how we look out in the world, okay, how people perceive us out in the world. But here's the thing. We don't really see out in the world. We actually filter the world. So when people are looking at us, they only see what their vibration will allow them to pick up. So this is the tricky part, because some people won't see us at all, and some people will see the whole of us. Some people will only see our shoes. Some people will only see our hands. Some people will only see our hair, because people are filtering out what their vibration will only allow them to, so once they filter it out, they only see what they filtered.
Right.
What they didn't filter, basically, put it that way. It's kind of confusing. At the same time, it's not, because we're so concerned about how we look, but what if we look completely different to everybody else in the world than what we see in the mirror because we're filtering ourselves?
Right.
That's huge. So that, and that's what, I don't know if you remember this conversation when I had the studio, but remember, it's kind of like people would be really picky about the color and we'd have to mix the color. And then I said, well, yeah, but maybe that green looks different to you. I don't know if it looks the same, but if I showed you what I was matching and you would look at that, it should match because I'm saying it matches. Would you say it matched? And yeah, it matches. And is that green really the green that I'm looking at? I don't know that because I have a filter, you know? So it's like, wow, that's, and then I was taught that the name of that color is green. It gets deeper. You know, we get philosophical about this, you know, that color. And I just remember it's like, it could be purple. It could look purple to you for all I know, whatever your purple, you know, what I'm saying is it's whatever we filter it to be. I think the word seeing, we see what we don't, we see the things that we don't filter out, but every day we're filtering things that only match our vibration and our frequency.
Right.
And so
right.
That being said, what I see in the mirror when I'm putting myself together in the morning is completely different from what somebody else sees of me when I walk out the door. So
right.
who are we trying to please? And why should we try to please people who don't see us the way we see us? So
it's like, right.
Oh, a second. Yeah. So the thing
that's
is
exactly
yourself.
It.
Just be yourself. Yeah. This is what I told Liz. Like, okay, we were going to Broadway, right? And in my head, I think Broadway, you know, gosh, we have to wear evening gowns, right? Which is not the case. She's like, you can wear whatever you want. You know, but, you know, we wanted to look decent. So, you know, we put on our clean clothes that day. No, you want to look decent, right? But, you know, we took in a matinee. So I had on, you know, nice shorts and a nice shirt and, you know, so that kind of thing. But you can wear whatever you want to wear. So in my head, I'm thinking if we go, the only massive theater we have here, the big one, the Fox Theater, when you go to the Fox, you dress up, you wear casual business clothes is what I will label it. We generally don't wear shorts that I know of, unless you're going to go see a movie. But if you're going to go see a show, you dress up. So, but the thing is, I realize in New York, it's like you can wear whatever you want. We can wear whatever you want, whenever you want. And most of the time that I've experienced, nobody cares. Everybody's going about their business, doing their thing. And there are so many different styles there that it doesn't matter. So it really is, that city is a place, to me, represents the absolute melting pot of America and freedom. And a lot of people you meet aren't originally from America, let alone New York.
Right.
And it's fascinating to talk to them and get their take on things. And again, just, that's the melting pot. And it's so different. Like I was comparing the South to New York and the freedom, the energetic freedom that I felt when I was there was really cool because I cut my hair and it's the shortest it's ever been. You know, I'm just kind of allowing, you know, Liz and I would go, we went shopping and she's really good at, hey, this will look good on you. And this is something you said you wanted to wear. And so I get, it's like, okay. And then I wouldn't even try it on. I just trust it. And then I'd get back to the house and I'd try it on and go, oh my God, I love this shirt. You know, oh my God, I love these pants. Oh my God, you know, I love these shoes. Oh my God. You know, so, yeah. So freedom to really be who you are. And it resonated. It's like, okay, then just be that at home, be that wherever you are. And just know again, that people are filtering. They're not seeing, they're filtering. So It's a different take on energy and a different take on things. And they're filtering based on their vibration, not your vibration. You're doing your thing based on your vibration. They're doing their thing based on their vibration. So it could, like I said, a friend of mine once said, you know, when we were, especially when we're teenagers, we have that thing, you know, how I'm supposed to look a certain way. I'm supposed to be a certain way. But then with teenagers, you know, he was saying, well, we were so insecure back then that we weren't looking at anybody else. We're only looking at ourselves. It's like, but that's how we are as adults too. You know, we pretty much, we don't, I mean, we do. You know, we say, oh, I really love that blouse or nice shoes. And we're perceiving that. We're looking at that. Anyway, mm-hmm. So of course my little brain is just, you know, twisting things around. And
no, that's very interesting because that's so true. And there are people who are just really tuned in to that visual part, you know, and then, you know, the visual part that also compares. And yes. In a sense, you know, we're kind of trained that way. I mean, that's what advertising is about. You want to be like this, but then, you know, they also, the marketing part is to, you know, get you to feel the pain of not feeling like that or not looking like that.
Right.
It's very interesting to see that play on emotions but talk about the word illusion, but yeah, that's exactly it. You're right. It's not really, it's what you're filtering. And it mm-hmm. makes sense to me because, you know, like for this past week, I'm all about the women's soccer team and just that World Cup tournament. So whatever people's thoughts are on that, you know, I don't really care. I think it's an ongoing kind of cycle of when you have, like I said, any kind of celebrity, then the way these celebrities, whatever they do, they're kind of pushed to kind of market themselves, and you need to be out and about, and you need, you know, people need to see you. So this team played, you know, 7 matches in like 20 something days or whatever. They won. They were in Europe. So they had their celebration there. They had, you know, they had to do the whole ceremony, and then they flew to New York, did a few interviews, did a ticker tape parade in New York City, like the morning that you left, they were doing their parade, and then they flew out to LA the same day, and they all got different awards at, you know, the ESPN Sports Awards, the ESPYs, and I think they're all home now. But then I don't know what else is planned, but like, as an athlete, like, you just did all this stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a lot of downtime. So like the price of being famous for doing mm-hmm. something really good is to have to do a lot of work to maintain
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot to do with nothing that you are, but everything.
Correct.
It has everything to do with what people are expecting to see.
But it's also,
you have to be made available.
Yeah, because it's the supportive part. And I think Liz mm-hmm. and I had that conversation too, because as a creative back in the day, you had a benefactor. You had somebody who would sponsor you, somebody who would take care of all your needs, give you a place to live, feed you. And now with like celebrity, you do that. You show up, you take pictures. That's like your benefactor. That's the thing that actually feeds you. That puts the roof over your head, because as a creative person or as a sports person or whatever, you're doing your craft. You're doing your thing. And I said that's the not easiest part probably about the industry in New York, is that you've got these amazing, amazingly talented people who have to have a side hustle, like, you know, I've got a line of apparel that I'm selling, or I'm doing, you know, so
right.
they have this thing that they're doing on the side just to support their habit of producing and directing, you know, documentary films or whatever. So, because a lot, like, she's got a few friends, and one of them, you know, it's like he's got a gig, you know, he's got a couple of things coming up, but in between, it's that in between time. Again, like with actors, you know, you have a big hit show on Broadway, you've been running for a year and a half, and all of a sudden, nothing. Or you get a small part somewhere and you go do that, and then you just keep doing that, or you don't do anything. And it's like, in between, how do you sustain yourself? Well, with that celebrity, the more popular they get, the more photo shoots they're going to have to do, the more things they're going to have to sponsor, you know, that type of thing. And that's mm-hmm. and it's not the thing that they love to do, but it's the thing that sustains them and puts a roof over their head. And I'm not going to say it's sad. I'm just going to say, you know, there are different ways of looking at it. And then you kind of have to, in this society right now, accept that as this is my benefactor. This is how I'm, you know, being fed. And so I'm going to graciously take that picture, and I'm going to graciously get flown all over the place and, you know,
right.
do what I have to do.
Right.
So it's, you know, and I'm not saying that it has to be that way. It seems like right now that's the way it is. And if you get that big sponsorship or that big thing that just takes you. I mean, again, because I ask Liz all these questions, it's like, you know, how do you raise money for films? How do you, you know, how do you get money for films? How do they get produced? Who backs them after the film is produced? And I'm asking all those questions because there are so many people who are making films because they love to make films.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily trying to make a statement, even though I think most films generally do.
Right.
But they're doing it because they love it. They love the creative process. And I see that. It's like, and when you're good at it, I mean, I saw some of the stuff that these guys are doing is so amazing. And it's like if you could take the money factor out of it, how creative could people be, you know? And it's like, sadly, that factor's there because it has to support, you know, that's the way that that's the paradigm of support right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting, just all around, just lots of takeaways and a lot of, you know, seriously looking at things that I had never looked at before in a way that I feel very blessed to have been, like, right in the middle of it. And but, yeah, like, watching your teams, you know, what those teams weren't extreme, that popular, how many years ago? Like, mm-hmm. they kind of, now they're getting up there, and now they're, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, we know, you know, this is that soccer team, and, you know. So, actually, Liz and I watched, Strike a Pose, which is a documentary about the dancers that toured with Madonna, I guess a couple of years. And it talks about the same exact thing, because these guys, there was some different messages in there, but a lot of it is, it's how do you deal with that celebrity and then not being a celebrity?
Right.
That energy of being able to actually, I want to say deal with it, because that's how some of them had to. They had to deal with it, you know, coming off a tour and then getting into, a couple of them actually sued Madonna at some point. It was a real interesting documentary, real fascinating documentary. And it was, it ended up, you know, and for the most part, ended up good, and there was a little reunion. You know, they're older. They're obviously, you know, in their 50s, late 40s, early 50s now. So that was fascinating to see what they're doing and how they've shifted and how they've, you know, they cared for each other. They were all like brothers, you know. So I thought that was really fascinating. But if you get a chance to watch the documentary Strike a Pose, which I think was, I'm not sure when, 2014 maybe, I don't know. I think it talks about this very thing, like celebrity and what that was like, and then coming off the tour and like knowing that it's ending and what that was like, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, fascinating.
Mm.
Fascinating stuff.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. And I think,
yeah,
too, like, and I told Liz, I said, you know, I bet some of the most famous people, unless they have families and stuff, sometimes they could be very lonely, I'm sure. Because you think about the public's view of them. And so you assume that this person has it all and they're doing everything and they've got a million and one friends. But a lot of times they don't. And it's like, then there's this thing. So they could take it either way. Like, would I take it as solitude or would I take it as loneliness? You know, would I take it as time for me or would I take it as, you know, I'm sad, I'm alone, you know? So I think that's interesting too. Like,
well, I think it's similar to how you feel like, you know, after doing all this activity, like you just like to have a moment to yourself.
Right.
Like it's a luxury. That's a luxury.
Absolutely.
That
it is.
That a lot of people, because of the way their lives are run, that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a lot of freedom. Like you think, you know, President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How many reports have we heard? I don't even know about this president, but previous presidents where, you know, like they can't just hang out. At the end of the day, they can't just hang out. They got to have, there's like all security detail and, you know, you can't just run out and get a burger or whatever. You can't do that. You know, not. You
can't just sneak out.
It's something as simple as that. You can't. You always have to have people around you. You got to be protected. And it's a different level of what it means to be like to be famous, I guess. It's just, I'm sure there's past lives in there. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that again. But yeah, because to me, it's I was exhausted just looking at Instagram posts of people at the parade and then at those award shows. I'm like, that's all within 24 hours, you know, and that's just what we have been able to see. Those are public events, but then there were a lot of private events they had to go to. You're right, with all their different sponsors. And, oh, we're going to host you for a dinner here, and we're going to go out to the harbor. And I'm thinking I would want to, like, get a massage and just, like, chill for, like, a week. But all of them had, like, some of them are sponsored by Nike, and some of them are sponsored by Adidas. So they had a billion things to do once they hit, you know, New York. And then, you know, for that day and a half, and then they're out in L.A., and I think people are home now. But like I said, they still have a club team to play for. Like they still have –
right.
And then their regular job is, you know, to play more games. And I'm just amazed at that. I'm amazed at that. And I think it's the same thing about – because, you know, I like those reality shows, and it's the same thing. But the singing competitions where – that's a little more it's a little more direct in terms of, well, you know, you have this voice, but there's somebody else writing your songs and there's somebody else playing your music and there's someone else managing your time, and this is how we get to promote you, and that, and because we're promoting you, then you have to do all these things. Yeah, you have this one hit song, but you have to do a whole album and you have to go to support the album. So there's, I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, it's that behind it. Like, you know, we helped you get to this point. So this is what you promised us in return. So it is a give and take. Mm-hmm. So you can look at it either way. You can look at it as, oh, you know, I'm selling out my soul to do all this music that I don't want to do just so I can do this one song that I want to do. Or you can say, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. You know, I can say that. It's like, is fun. You know, it was just fun. I don't think I had a not good time there. You know what I'm saying? I didn't. There wasn't a time where I went, oh God, I wish I could go home. Not at all. Actually, I was like, I wish I could stay another week or so. No. I'm just saying, it really was. I love that. It's almost like I got, except for the time we were filming, you know, 2 days on set, that they were, it's just, like fleeting time that you got to meet with people. I mean, we actually got to meet with most of her friends that I met at least twice, if not more. So that was kind of nice. Like we'd have dinner. The last night I was there, her friend Michael, who's a wonderful musician, he met us for dinner. And it was just nice to have time with him, you know, be able to talk to him instead, because the first time I met him, we was in a large group. Even though he's very focused and he asked great questions. I loved all the questions he was asking me. And he had lived a little bit in Georgia, so he kind of knew the area and stuff. So that was fun. But he does
he does scores for musicals, and he composes music, and he just, you're like, wow, that's, you know, to have that, and he's just such a beautiful, beautiful energy. So it's like, and all of her friends are like that, you know, and it's like, they're just so creative, it's like, they're so freaking creative, oh my God.
So, and there's never just one idea. There's like a million ideas. So it was beautiful. Yeah.
Sure.
It was beautiful. But thanks, Liz, if you're still listening. Yeah. And
well, thank you for sharing all that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing all that because it's given me something to think about in terms of like how much energy do you want to put out, and, you know, why are you doing it? What's your why? I guess it's a lot of people ask that question. What's your why?
And
the bigger picture is, you know, who has been supporting you and how has that played out? And one last thing also, I would say because of your experience, but you know, you're also a lot older in terms of your experiences, your life experiences. And most of the time when we see, a lot of people being, you know, promoted, they're really young, like early 20s, you know, maybe teenagers starting in Disney. I was like, you know, notorious for like, yo, child actor, you know, and just kind of exploiting that. And that's the word I would use, exploitation, but, and it's a little harsher, but I think that's a lot that they don't know what's happening. You know, they're like, okay, well, I'll just do it. You know, and to be able to say no, or to be able to negotiate, you know, those are skills that I think when you're a little bit older, you can do that. But I think it's just fascinating to me. I appreciate you sharing that experience because there's just a lot to think about for me.
It is. And it's really rethought what I want to get into now. Like, what's my next, you know, because, you know, my brain is now, it's like, you know, being creative, being an artist, being a person who can actually, you know, create my mixed media pieces or, you know, all these different ideas have come to my head. It's like, okay. And it's not even, because in the past I'm like, okay, that, and how can I market that? And it's like, don't even think about the marketing aspect of it. Think about what you want to do, how you want to create in this world. And I noticed, you know, I did some digital art while I was gone, and I know we're on our hour, so I'm going to wrap it up here, but I did some digital art while I was gone, and one piece I did was of my brother and sister-in-law's little Jack Russell puppy, Duke. And I was showing my sister-in-law when I was in Hawaii, I was showing her some of the stuff I did of Duke. And she's like, send those to me. So I was texting her, and she's like, oh, my God. And she loved this one particular one. Well, I had a canvas made of, like, 24 by 30 something, whatever. It was a big canvas. And they got it while I was in New York, and they sent me pictures. And it was so cute to watch Duke's face. And so I love sharing, you know, what – and in the past, I didn't really think of digital art. I thought of it as more commercial than personal. But now I'm using what the tools that I know. I can't carry around canvases and paints with me all the time, but I can carry my phone and my laptop, and I can create from those now because I've found the tools online to be able to do art. And so I'm like, I thought in the past I would say that was cheating because I'm actually physically not holding the brush or not, but I'm actually maneuvering everything with my hands here. It's digital, but it's still my art. So it's kind of a new medium for me. So I've been doing a lot of art digitally.
Very nice.
So very, very cool. And I've really appreciated the feedback, and the folks that I've done art for have been super, super thrilled, not only on the commercial aspect, because I'm still doing that, but on the fine art aspect of it. So I've just, you know, again, it's opened my mind to new experiences and new possibilities, and you know, definitely step out of your comfort zone. I mean, that, you know,
sure.
Even that little part I had in that indie film, I was definitely out of my comfort zone. I got comfortable, but I was definitely out of my comfort zone because I didn't know what I was doing. But Liz was like, you know, she's so funny because she can look at you and just like, I know you can do this. Just do it. Let's go do it. I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. Anyway, all right, Kusin, thank you so much for allowing me to co-host with you again. It's been a wonderful time chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you. I've really enjoyed it. You know, it's interesting because you and I do talk quite a bit. Well, we've been able to reconnect now since you're back in the South. But I love you being able to share these aspects of your experiences because I definitely got a lot out of it, and I'm hoping that others have too, and find some inspiration or at least to be able to look at your life in a different way.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, maybe change the filter, as we would say. But
mm-hmm.
I love you. I'm glad you're back. And I'm going to wrap up the show. So I don't know if you have a final takeaway.
No. I do appreciate everyone who's listening to Universal Energy Radio. Thank you for supporting us for literally 10 years now. So holding that energy in that space. We were 10 years old yesterday, so happy birthday to us. We just, you know, we're moving and shaking, but this is, you know, just allow yourself to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and just understand that, you know, you just do you, just be you. And I really think I found a lot of peace too. And all that, I found my peace. So it was like, yeah, that feels good.
Very nice.
So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, everybody. Well, we are going to be back on the air. Liz will be with us again on Tuesday, and that'll be at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. If you do need to reach us in the meantime, you can email loablend@gmail.com. Again, that's loablend@gmail.com, and we can just let us know if we're not allowed to talk about what you wrote on air. We're not going to read the email. Let us know. Otherwise, you know, we will probably reference it a lot. And be sure to listen to us. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Our tagline, those last minute thoughts, is let the light do the work. And look forward to brighter days ahead. Love you all, everybody. Bye.
Love you.